The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Ryan Pills.
Apprentice Dan.
And Jonah Duke.
In the house.
Playing games, having a good time, getting ready for Christmas. I can't believe that by the time you listen to this, it's only going to be, what, like 2 weeks until Christmas? I'm not ready.
It's the most wonderful.
It's actually going to only be like 9 or 10 days.
9 or 10 days. I'm definitely not ready for that. Wow. We've been busy doing all kinds of fun stuff. I don't know if you saw my personal Facebook page photos, but I did get my Christmas lights flashing in synchronization, and I have a secret project I'm working on right now that I'm going to spoil for all of you because you're probably not going to drive by my house. But I've convinced my neighbor to jump on board, and I found this awesome dueling banjos / jingle bells thing.
I'm
kind of a dork. I'm pretty excited.
This is what you wanted.
It is exactly
this is what
I
wanted.
It's spreading.
True for the last, I don't know, 15 years.
Well, I remember this a few weeks ago. This sort of all started with the neighbor down the street, and he like said, "Here's all this cool stuff." And you're like, "I'm like, oh, is Will actually going to put this together?"
Yeah, it took some help. Fortunately, my dad is a engineered guy, so he helped me solder some boards. Like, this is for real, like, stuff I don't know how to do. And then the neighbor came back over and helped me actually turn it all on, and it's live. And there are people, we should go check right now. There are probably people parked in front of my house right now, which is the new norm, watching Christmas lights sparkle and dance to the songs that Liam has done. I haven't actually done any of the programming. I've taught Liam how to do it, and he's done 2 songs, and he's working on the dueling banjos right now, and it'll be ready Tuesday.
Maybe they're just casing your house out.
That's also possible.
They're Home probably, alone.
They probably found the Wi-Fi network and they were like, Tantrum House, oh, let's check it out. Anything exciting going on Christmas related in you guys' homes? What's the decoration status? You have the trees up?
You guys really should come over and see the decorations that Chantel put up in my house. It is crazy.
Is it?
It really is. Okay.
I just got excited.
So
Santa's workshop?
It almost is. Okay, so she made columns of presents, and she has them going up like the archway to get into our living room. She had them going all the way around the archway, but then they fell. And it was this crazy crash, and they all fell. So now she just has 2 columns going up. Then on top of our kitchen cabinet, she's got it all presented out on the top with lights going between them and like wreaths and stuff. And then she's got over the fireplace a thing and the trees up. It's crazy, Chris. Oh, and the columns have like these little fine lights on them.
What?
It's like it's Christmas in my house.
Do you guys need some twinkling synchronized lights next year?
All the lights are inside my house though. So I feel like
you could just be inside
too. 95.7 and my house is going crazy.
It's got it.
Yeah.
Inside your house.
Yeah. Christmas is Katie's passion. So she has, in the past, planned out several years in a row. She's kind of held off because she realizes we have little kids now. And
all those glass balls getting broken.
Yeah, we're going to have some crazy like kids ornaments and stuff. She realizes this may be her last chance to decorate. So I was helping her pull Christmas stuff out of the attic. And I was like, why do we have 6 trees? But we do. We have 6 trees in our house.
That's next level.
Katie was slicing up real thin oranges and grapefruit and then drying them in the oven. And then she put them on strings. So they're like translucent, I think is the word, with the lights behind them. It looks really cool. She's got these like balls on a string and like other random ornament stuff. And she did a call out to her friends like, who has a magnolia tree? And we randomly drove up to somebody's house. I felt weird about it because nobody was there.
Stole their magnolia.
It was kind of a sketchy neighborhood.
Did you want the leaves?
And yeah, we just go up to their tree and start harvesting leaves from it. It's like looking both you know, both ways. Like, are we getting in trouble for this? I don't know. But yeah, it's pretty awesome. And we've been, every spare moment we have, putting up lights or some sort of decoration just all over.
I feel like we need to do, what's it called, like when you go from one house to the next, like eating dessert, dinner.
Progressive dinner.
We need to have like a progressive Christmas something.
We put a tablecloth out. But we're gone. That's most like the appetizer.
We'll start at Kevin Wilson's.
No. We also have a Harry Potter Christmas advent calendar.
Oh, okay.
It's a pop-up book.
It's a pop-up book. We literally like, oh, let's pop up the book. Boop. And this Christmas tree pops up.
Oh.
And then every day you can add an ornament to the tree. Nice. It's literally about 1 foot tall.
I did see on Facebook somebody had made garland out of meeples. Mm. They very, very carefully with a very tiny drill.
Drilled holes in their heads?
Under their arms.
Rib cages.
Right in the middle. Yeah. And so they were sideways along through, the side.
Oh, weird.
The side. So that when you hang it, so you can see all the meeples. And then they had little wooden beads
that
in between them.
That takes precision.
Yeah, now they said they had like 200 meeples they had gotten at a convention, they strung them all up.
Go for it.
I thought you were going to say that on Facebook. You saw one of our friends made a hilarious post about an advent calendar, and she said, I don't actually have an advent calendar. I just open up all the cabinets in my house and eat whatever's
inside the door.
No, I remember one year in elementary, I was like, Mom, I want to string popcorn. I want to like take a needle and then I want to do the, I just want to do it. And I want to have our tree have like a popcorn garland. She's like, okay. So she popped. I remember we were like, okay, we'll watch a movie and you can start stringing the popcorn. It'll be your thing. I remember getting like 20 popcorns. I'm like, the movie's almost over.
Best Christmas ever.
My mom came into town for Thanksgiving and she wanted to spend some time with the kiddos. And so she made chocolate fudge, peanut butter fudge, and divinity. So that was kind of our holiday.
Where's
thing.
This peanut butter fudge?
Over here.
Well, if you're talking about the podcast.
Now we have the.
What is divinity, Dan?
Divinity? Divinity is it's almost like a thicker, chewier meringue.
Yeah. It's like a dried meringue.
Peanut butter fudge all the way.
Yeah, peanut butter fudge for sure. But see, now Amy knows the secrets, so we can get some other batches going. But
that's a big deal that Amy knows now.
It's huge. It is.
Oh, yeah. I just want to point out that we missed Amy tonight.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, not just because there could have been peanut butter fudge here.
Divinity.
That's right. Divinity's pretty awesome. But I was thinking about this with Ryan's story. When they were making it, Juliet felt a little left out. So I took her. She got to sit in the front seat.
What?
As we slowly cruised around our neighborhood looking at lights, and I turned the lights off on the car.
Oh, dangerous.
And crashed.
We didn't crash.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I do the same thing.
Man, the looks we got from people who were outside, they're like, what are you doing? Are you casing? Because they didn't know what our creepers. Car was. Yeah, we were total creepers. Just staring at people.
I mean, people got to know, right? That's the time.
I would
time
hope so,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just in reference to your recipe stuff. My oldest sister, she lives in Wyoming, and it's a small state, but she enters the Wyoming State Fair.
It's not a small state.
It's a huge state.
It's a small state when it comes to people. It's the least populated state.
Is it really the least populated state?
Yeah. She enters the state fair and wins, like, every year some category. So she's got state fair winning brownies and cinnamon rolls that she'll make for us when we go there, but she will not share us the recipe because she shared the recipe one time with my other sister, and then that sister gave it away as a Christmas present, and it ruined it for everybody. So now nobody knows. Nobody will ever know what the recipe is.
I did the recipe away as a Christmas present?
Yeah.
Someone else's recipe?
Yeah.
That is against the rules.
I know. And I'm like, you violated the awesomeness for all of us. So be careful in your gifting this season.
There'll be copying recipes.
I did just Google what is the least populated state, and you are correct. Oh, it is Wyoming. Yeah. But the question is, what is the most populated state?
I have a guess.
Go for it, Jonah.
Is it per square mile or the one total. With the most population?
I'm just telling you. What
California.
Google, okay, you say California?
Yeah it's got to be a big state with a lot of people.
Yeah, there's several large cities in California.
Is everyone saying California?
It's
right,
unanimous.
You're all right. No one said Texas. I was wondering if Texas would show up.
I think there was a point in time where if California seceded, they would have like the second largest GDP or something.
But they're in like debt.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just saying they could make it as their own nation.
Could Texas is the only state that can secede, and the only state where the state flag. Well, they can secede legally.
They tout that they can.
Yes, but it is the only state where their state flag can fly at the same height as the United States.
Wow. Let's talk about secession.
Right. All where are we going with this episode?
So back to board games.
So Mandalorian.
Just real quick. Definitely stay with us for the after party, after show when we talk about Mandalorian episode. Is this like 5 or 6 now? This is episode 6. So. Check back with us at the end after the end credits roll.
One of the other things that we've been working on recently in the house is making our plans for Tantrum Con. We just got done with a meeting, actually, where we finally got the outline for our schedule. We're looking at a 3-day event, which I think we've mentioned a couple times, but we finally got some slots filled in, talking about how many giveaways we need to do, talking about how many awesome sponsors are already on board and which games we're going to be able to play. We're hoping to be able to introduce some brand new ones, maybe. That's what we're working on right now, trying to find out, is there some stuff that nobody has seen yet? Because we'd love to be able to premiere some stuff. If you're listening to this podcast and you have something you want to show off, send an email to, I guess, Will at TantrumHouse.com.
Or Kevin at TantrumHouse.com.
That's probably better. Send it to Kevin. But we are working on planning a bunch of games that you can play with us from home. Jonah will be acting as our Zoom community manager.
I'm going to think of a better name than that.
Yes, he
that
is.
We're ready to go.
Zoom MC.
Zoom C is not good either. Yeah. But we'll think of a good one by the time
you tell us
start.
That too.
Okay. Yeah, send an email to Jonah@tantrumhouse.com.
Zoom party planner.
We'll keep working on it.
If you have any ideas, send them over.
But you can go to tantrumcon.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page. We do have a Zoom community sign up available, and you can join in order to get more information. Basically, just give us your email address. That way, Jonah can communicate with you in advance of the event and give you all the info and the deets on prizes, on how to play with us, on what to expect. We'd love to have you actually there for the show with us live during the event on YouTube with us on Zoom playing games. I think it's going to be fantastic. Jonah and Larry, actually, Sidekick Larry, are going to be teaming up to keep you entertained live there as well as on YouTube for the entirety of the show.
Oh, there we go. Something with Sideshow or entertaining with like Barnum and Bailey or like something like that, Jonas, you're going to have to pull from the name there. So.
Barnum and Bailey, the circus?
Yeah, like think of like some circus.
Maybe
like,
he meant like the greatest showman. That's what he was going for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's where you're going to pull the name from.
Barnum and Bailey.
Since you're going to be keeping people entertained the whole time.
That's true.
So.
What is the top circus guy's name?
I don't know.
Barnum.
The Ringmaster?
The Ringmaster. Ooh, How about that? That's good. We're getting there.
You meant like generic.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say Zac Efron.
He's
in that movie, right?
Yeah. The Zoom Master. Zoom Master isn't terrible.
Or Zoom Meister.
Zoom Master's not bad.
Zoom Master I like a lot. All right, we'll keep thinking about that. We played board games.
Oh, yeah. We made it how far into the episode? Let's talk about board games a little
13
bit.
13 minutes.
What games are you guys playing, Kevin and Melissa?
Melissa and I were able to play one of the games for the Adventure series from Cosmos. They've had one called Monochrome Inc., another one called The Dungeon. The newest one that just recently came out is called The Volcanic Island. And Volcanic.
Volcanic.
Thank you. Okay. Volcanic Island. This talk about the series a little bit, Melissa.
So these are not escape room games. They're more like a choose your own adventure where each player is a character that has specific skills and stats. It's a cooperative game. And we've played all three, and you're going through a narrative story, but the choices that you make open things up or close off other routes. So there's aspects of the game, if you play it only once, that you will never see. Even the endings are different depending on the choices that you make throughout, the items that you discover and how you choose to combine them. You know, maybe you'll have a rope and, you know, a pulley or something that you need to put together to get a different item that you can then use to do something with. The Volcanic Island has 4 chapters, basically, and each one is about an hour, maybe a little bit more. So to play through
one
the
of the
whole
chapters
game,
is almost double that.
True. But there are basically stopping points, save points at the end of each chapter. So we played one chapter and then we came back the next day and played the other chapter. So you don't have to do it all in one sitting.
Now, is that something that once you've played it, it's pretty much done? Or because you have those different choices with different outcomes, so you could replay?
I would have said the first two, Monochrome Ink and then Dungeon, I would be like, ah, there's really not that much more you can explore. In this one, there's the chapters are so divergent in what you can might be able to do is I might play this volcanic island again. I might not, but I'd say I think I could do it and actually choose different things, and I would do a totally different path. I think come to a different conclusion.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know what Melissa thought on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it right away again because I think especially the first chapter and some of the beginning things are going to play out very similar. Mm-hmm. But then as you get further into the story, different things could happen.
And it sounds like something that, unlike an escape room game where, sure, I could introduce it to different friends and kind of guide them, I could introduce it to other people and play along with them and make some of the same decisions.
Yep.
And have just as much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've done that with Time Stories and other games that kind of have a narrative element, kind of taking a little bit more of a backseat instead of driving the choices. So, yeah, I thought this one was definitely longer than the other two and maybe a little bit more difficult.
I say it was a little bit more difficult. There didn't seem to be as many. I enjoy puzzles in games. There was one puzzle I forgot about, the one puzzle.
Yeah, there was at least one puzzle.
That's right. I was like, in the adventure games, exit games are all puzzly. I mean, it's like puzzle, puzzle, puzzle. But in the adventure games, there was a few puzzles in the other ones. And this one, I felt like, oh, there's no puzzles. I do remember one puzzle now. There's definitely more of just a story that you're trying to make decisions on. You know, what are you trying to accomplish as a group and what mystery you're trying to solve? They do tell you this is what you're trying to accomplish, but like literally you could go a different way and spend many minutes on something that may not actually accomplish what you're trying to.
Can you lose the game, or is it just a matter of got to get back on track and finish out and get to the ending?
There are
levels.
You get a score,
okay,
at the end. So there's a bit of a rating. We only saw one ending, so I don't know if there's endings that are like you just really, really, really messed up.
As you can tell, in Volcanic Island, there could be bad endings. But there was definitely two other paths at the end, like because we saw what you're getting scores for. We was like, oh, I bet you if we went that path, we could have met this person or blah blah blah. So, which could have made us be like the bad guys or something. I don't know.
Ooh,
so
interesting.
But anyway,
I'm going to check it out with Amy.
Okay.
So we'll see what we come across and
okay,
get back to you on that.
Can you try to get the volcanic explosion ending?
Sure.
Thank you. I want to know how that goes.
You tell us. I'll tell you, in this one, there was a couple points where I was like, I do not know like what we're missing or like how we would even found this thing. So I'd love to hear your experience on that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different locations you can visit. There's a booklet, and basically you go to the entry. There's also an app.
Oh, yes. Definitely download the app.
And it'll read the entries for you, so if you want it narrated.
Does it tell you to download the app?
I think it's in – there's two rule books. There's like the adventure rule book where you're actually reading the things, and then there's another rule book where I think it tells you the Cosmos Helper app or something like that. So, yeah, I really actually enjoyed the app because the guy had a nice accent and you could follow along pretty easily without someone losing their voice halfway through.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, I process better reading. So even with the app, I would usually turn to the page on the booklet so I could read along and kind of process the information better. Yeah, but definitely there are spots in the game where it will ask which character is trying to do this. And they have different attributes, so you kind of want to match up the character that's trying to break into something or fix something with the characters that probably are stronger in that aspect.
Hint, hint, Dan.
Spoilers! Sarah and I had the opportunity to play Project L a couple times this week. It was actually a lot of fun. We played, I think, an early prototype back in the day, and actually the prototype held up pretty well. They had done a great job on building that because it reflected the actual game really well. In the game, you have these really cool, they almost reminded me of like Chiclet gum texture pieces that
even
are
like the style.
They feel like that kind of weight, but they're more like Tetris pieces. And you have these cool cards. It's an engine building game.
I think it's Bakelite.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
It is, but like the you know how like it has like a rounded edge on a mm-hmm. chiclet? That's what I'm talking about.
The colors were chiclet-like,
I wanted
too.
To eat them is what I'm trying to say. In the game, you start with like just a couple pieces, like a rectangle on a square, and you're trying to build out these very specific shapes. And each time you finish a shape, you get a new piece to add to your collection. You may also get victory points if it's a hard enough piece to complete. And basically, you're just trying to chain, you know, complete multiple cards on a turn in order to collect these pieces. It's really simple, straightforward concept, but enjoyable.
It's like that Tangrams game where, or not necessarily game, but activity where you have all the different shapes that you're trying to use to build something. So this one has inset cards where you're sticking the little pieces in, trying to fill up the entire recessed area. And then once you've done that, then you'll get a bonus piece and possibly victory points.
Yeah, we enjoyed it with the kids. All the boys were able to play it very, you know, jump in immediately. I don't think they understood like the value of on your turn, you can lay one piece into every card tile that you have in front of
once
you
once per turn,
right? And so they were more content to just be like, oh, and I finished one, and I'm like, no, put a piece into your other two puzzles, like you chain it and get it all done. So they Xander played well, he's 8 and did actually really great the first time, but then didn't win, so he was like, I'm out. And then the other two, we played several other games afterwards trying to perfect our strategy. So that was a fun one. I think it's a new one that came out this year, and it was cool to see the Kickstarter version versus finished and to see how close they came on with what their vision was.
I was impressed with the production value of that one. There was a lot of attention to detail in just the paper finishes and all of that.
Yep, the varnishes, the sleek design.
They had a Project L. There was a Kickstarter this year for an expansion called Finesse. Mm-hmm. Melissa and I were able to play that. We probably talked about it a few months ago. But just as a reminder, this...
It's even nicer.
Well, no, the Finesse, right? Project L Finesse. It has you planning out when you want to accomplish certain things.
Ooh.
Like, oh, if you place these kinds of shapes in your things during this round or a certain round, you start getting coins, and then you can use coins later to trade in for more actions.
Ooh.
It's pretty cool because it's like, oh, I don't want to place that right now or accomplish that because I can wait one more round because you can actually see what's coming down the pike.
Okay,
pretty cool. Interesting. And then like the last round, I'm like, I'm doing 20 action. Like, I mean,
save
not
them
that
up.
Many. But
do you guys have the expansion?
Is it, I think it's
is
in
it
the
at
box.
Our house and
it's,
I just didn't play
it's
it?
It's in the box.
All right, good. No,
but I mean, I have to send you the PDF of the rules.
Gotcha. We could probably pull that off. One other game that we had an opportunity to look at on our Saturday morning board game show this past week. If you tuned in for that live, I'm sure you had some fun. We had a good time playing a bunch of different games and talking through stuff. We do that like once a month, so be sure to check out our YouTube channel if you haven't already subscribed there to get notified when those go live. One other game that we looked at on Saturday that my kids are excited to play that we haven't tried yet is the new Zombie Teens game. Ryan and I ran through this on Saturday, and it's a pretty slick little game.
Yeah, Zombie Teens Evolution. It's the sequel to the Zombie Kids game. On your turn, you can either move to an adjacent spot, attack the zombie that's there, or you can collect a crate or... transfer a crate.
Ingredients for your...
Yeah.
So
there's a
remedy.
There's a crate of ingredients in each of the corners of the map, and you're trying to collect them and get them to the schoolhouse, which is in the center. But what throws a wrench in things is at the beginning of your turn, you roll a die. And if the die lands on a color, the zombie of that color comes out, or he advances one space. And if you roll a question mark, you draw an event card, which is a lot worse because it can generate like all of the zombies all at once type thing. And anytime a zombie gets to one of the outlying buildings where the crates are, they start assembling a trampoline. And then whenever a zombie moves from there or moves into there, they bounce from that trampoline to the next building. And once all four buildings are taken full of zombies, then the game is over.
They
so
eat
you
your
are
brains.
Trying to collect these crates, but also scramble to kill all these zombies before they can just overrun you. And it's a very simple game at its heart, but as you play, and every time you play, And every time you win a mission, you advance one track. And then every time you achieve certain achievements, you advance another track. And those two tracks have separate envelopes that you will open and modify the game rules and add new components and new characters and stuff. It is pretty cool. So it's basically a legacy game,
right?
That you don't destroy things per se, so much as you're just adding new elements to the game the whole time. So it's pretty slick. It's a lot of fun.
Is it cooperative or competitive?
It is cooperative. Yes,
it is cooperative. So you're working together to get those crates. So it's like action selection. A very simple board to start off with. There's only like 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 8, 12, like 12 spaces on the board or something. My guess is that each of those spaces is going to be covered with stickers by the time you get done with the game. There's a ton of envelopes. I didn't count how many there were, but I'm going to guess like 20. Does that seem right? 12?
I don't know.
At least 12. I'm feeling like there was 20. There was a ton. And the first couple envelopes are pretty simple. Like inside, you get another character, or here's some tokens or a sticker.
And we're going to find out how many envelopes are here.
When you get to the end of the game,
just look at the rule book.
When you get to the end of the game, some of those envelopes are like crunchy thick. Like, I don't know what's inside of them, but
14 envelopes.
14.
All right, we'll split the difference.
Closer to 12, but but those last couple are thick enough to be three envelopes. Yeah, let's just say that.
The achievement ones are a lot thicker than the base ones from just playing.
But my main question is, are these zombie teens the same people that were the zombie kids?
I'm going to guess yes, but I don't know. I really don't.
I was told that they were aged up versions, but I'm not as familiar with the zombie kids.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, did you guys play the zombie kids?
No.
Okay. I think I also heard, maybe I got it wrong, but I thought you could even play them together. Like
maybe once it's all done or something.
Something like that. Huh. Either it's an expansion too, and you can play them both at the same time, or I don't know.
The artwork looks cool. It looks like bright and fun and for zombies.
Yeah, and I don't usually really talk about this, but I thought the representation was pretty awesome. They've got like kids in wheelchairs saving the day. They've got like they've got every type of kid you can imagine, which is pretty awesome. And they've treated them all very well. It looks fun. The illustration style is cool. I don't know if you saw the components, but like the crates that you're passing to each other. Yeah, they're like actual plastic boxes with texture and stickers on them and stuff. So it's a cool one. We looked at it. I explained the rules to my kids. We didn't have time to play it. They were all like, "Oh, we're coming back. We're going to do this one." So we'll see how many we make it through. We've got all of Christmas to try it out, I think, till 300 new games arrive. But till then, this is on the top of the list. It looks slick.
Now, I know we're decided not to do a Kickstarter conniption because there's not that many Kickstarters coming out in the next few weeks. But we'll still have fun in the next few podcasts with you talking about board games and Christmas and all the things that going on down at Tantrum House. One thing that's going on down at Tantrum House happened this past weekend was TBOI.
Thank goodness your buddies are here.
The best one yet.
The best one yet.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't. Oh, maybe I do know what you're talking about.
Does anybody else figure it out? what do you think it is, Will?
So this past Saturday, we shot our new season opener. What?
TBOI. I can feel it.
Each year, we try to up our game on our YouTube shows. The very first year that we did a set of videos, I animated the intro for it, and I thought, man, this is pretty cool. I don't know how to make it better. Oh, we should probably use real people. And since then, we've had a lot of fun every year kind of brainstorming, like, what can we do that would be cooler? How can we up our game? Let's try to change the music.
We should go back to the other music.
We've had some fails. We've had some growth. But we hooked up with a good friend of mine. You can check out his work at, I think it's called Mog Studios.
M-O-G, yeah.
Yeah, and he let us use his studio. He rented this super cool lens. I don't even know what it's called. I think it looks like a rifle barrel coming off the front of his camera, and it allows you to get like super microscopically close, not microscopically, but whatever the next level is, to
telescopically.
Regular close.
Regular close.
Fair and close.
Your name is going to be Regular DJ now. That's all you get.
How about Fair and Close?
Fair and Close.
Because you slow to the ground. And
sure. Fair and eye view.
There you go.
So we shot a pretty cool setup. I am excited. I got to see a little preview of it the next day. He kind of sent me what he was working on. So he's going next level, like color grading and all kinds of stuff.
I was
going
to say, because I was like, he's just going to give us the raw file, right? And we'll have to do all this.
No, normally that's what happens. He has skills, not just like he's a hack. So we'll see what he gets. I'm excited. I want to see the final piece as well. We're going to debut that during TantrumCon. So the first eyeballs to see it will be people who tune in for TantrumCon. And yeah, I think it will be TY
B-T-B-O-Y.
That.
G-O-A-T.
Best one yet. I think so, too. I'm looking forward to it. There are some secret pictures on Twitter and Discord. If you ever want to, like, follow us, you can definitely see some behind-the-scenes things that are thrown up there once in a while. So
yeah, we have a I don't even know what the channel's called, Dan. The Top Secret something-something channel.
Super Secret.
Super Secret Projects.
On
Discord.
How do people get there if they've never used Discord, like me?
I believe we have a link on Facebook. It looks like maybe Will's going to verify
I was going to look on our website.
All my block videos in the description, I have a Discord. People can join.
So that's a great way to go.
Because
also, you could go to tantrumhouse.com and sign up for our mailing list to get our newsletter, because there are links to it there. And you can also get all the fun, updated information about TantrumCon and various other.
Tell us about the newsletter, Dan.
I just did. No.
It's super secret stuff that's happening next one.
The super secret stuff?
Yeah.
Next one. So we've got another interview coming with another house member. Get to know some more of us there. We've got some top Christmas movies.
That's the one.
Oh, that's the one. Okay. Okay.
So
how far I needed to go. It's yes. So if you wanted to know what the best Christmas movies are, or if you just want to jump in and argue us about whether or not we're right, definitely check out the newsletter, and we'll have a list there of our top 10. Larry is pulling all of that information together, and then we'll just have some other fun Christmas things.
When is that newsletter going out?
December 21st.
So maybe next podcast we could discuss the top 10 Christmas movies.
Yes.
Because the newsletter ought to be out.
That's right.
Put that on the list, Will.
I also just put that you can now go to tantrumhouse.com/Discord to get to our Discord page.
Look at you.
To change gears just slightly, you can also go to tantrumhouse.com/survey to be involved in our Tantrum House Award show, which will be coming up, also part of TantrumCon.
I just thought about that. Good. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about what you're working on for that.
So normally we have two different kinds of surveys. The first one is the nomination survey, where we have a bunch of categories and people just tell us what games should be nominated in those categories, whether it's best art, best Kickstarter, whatever. We have a whole, like, 12 different categories. Then we compile all that information together and put that together. And then we put them in those categories and we pick the top 3 to 5, just depending on the category. Some just have so many good games, you know, like best board game of the year or best strategy game or things like that. And we'll put 3 to 5 board games in each of those, and people will actually pick which ones they think are the best.
So basically, they get to vote.
Yes, they get to vote on those games. And then we are going to record the award show, and then we will debut that during TantrumCon. That'll probably be on the Saturday night of TantrumCon, February 6th. So definitely join us for the premiere of the Tantrum House Award Show. That's a favorite thing that we get to do. Are we inviting people to do, like, guests and things like that?
Definitely think we should.
Okay.
Kevin, you should do that. Yeah, typically we have guest announcers who join us. We try to get the actual publishers and designers themselves to come in and accept the awards.
I mean, so, definitely was going to do that. I just didn't know if we wanted to have, like, interns and, like, people behind the scenes do stuff.
Definitely.
Okay, we'll share the love.
We've got whole days to make plans for this.
We just get some money?
Someone just bought Steam Court.
What?
Really?
While we're recording?
Yeah.
While we're recording.
Way to go, somebody. Thanks, Edward.
Thanks, anonymous Edward.
You're a cool fan.
And it's actually one of the last copies.
I know.
Do we actually have it, like,
countdown?
Will was
just touting how we only had 5 left. Well, no more.
4. No, I actually don't know how many we have left, but it is.
Sarah, do we know exactly how many
we
have
left? Down to the wire.
I believe we're down to 4.
Four.
I wasn't even exaggerating. If you guys want to for your 4 Christmas relatives, you better grab one today.
Steam Court? Look it up on BGG.
That's right. Or you can go to steamcourt.com.
Okay.
Well, cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll keep these episodes a little shorter, although Kevin's going to say one more thing
before we end the show. I want to
talk about The Mandalorian.
Yes. This week, I want to talk about what's coming up on our YouTube channel, since I think that's important, because Studio 3's top 10 Kickstarters, Will and Sarah, they did a video of their favorite Kickstarters from 2020, and that video goes live today, December 14th, so check that out. I think we have the Tantrum Guys top 10 board games. The Tantrum Girls have already, their videos already published. I'm sure getting plenty of.
You don't want to check that one out. Come yeah, give the views to ours.
Definitely. That's definitely going to be a rivalry. Melissa wants to say something. She's pushing me out of the way.
All right.
Yeah, the girls list will definitely be better than the guys. I think the consensus was the girls won last year.
No.
Yes. Who makes this consensus? Yes.
Wait, there's more views than the guys.
That's what? Because you released yours sooner. So there's one more.
You still
time.
Have a week to catch up with us.
So.
But there's more likes and comments on the girls'
video. This is true.
Oh, Dan wants to say. Okay. I was going to say this year we're going to do number of views, but we're going to release the girls first. So we're going to see if it really matters who goes first.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If their argument was they won last year because they got the most views and they went first. Then the same should apply here, right?
Yep.
Or, sorry, you won because right. You got more views.
Right.
Yeah, so the same would go here. If they get more views, it's only because they went first, okay. Not because there was better.
That's why we're switching it up. So the girls are going
this
first.
Is a great plan.
And we'll see what happens. And hopefully the guys win again because it's definitely going to be more awesome. One other video this week is our Tantrum Talks, our last one of the year. Join us December 17th in the evening. I believe that's what we have scheduled. Is that right?
Seems like a thing. That
if not, join us anyway. Anyway, all right. Thanks for watching or whatever, listening, and check back a little bit for Mandalorian.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's Barry, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
Here's the story with this. This is fan made.
Oh,
yeah.
So we're not stealing anything?
And since we're not charging, you want to listen to our podcast.
Right. But it is based on the same music. So they went and they took this epic theme song. Hopefully you recognize if you've stuck around this long.
Ooh.
Because I'm definitely picturing, what is it, a Bantha stick?
A Gaffy stick.
Gaffy stick. Just like dragging through the dirt right now. He's about to wreak some havoc on people. Jonah, you should leave.
I definitely don't know what's happening.
Jonah, are you sticking around again?
It's okay. Jonah was like, Bantha stick? I don't know.
But whatever stick it was, that might be my cue to cut
out. Jenny, you're welcome to stay.
How many episodes am I behind now?
You said you saw the first two of season one months ago. So you're what?
12.
She's 12. Real specific there.
You're 12 behind.
You are 12 episodes behind.
There's right, still time to catch
I'll
up.
Maybe I'll go watch one.
Okay.
You should just pull one up right now. You watch while we talk. You can drown us out.
It's only 6 hours of viewing time.
Catch up. It's super fast.
It's only like, I don't know. I can't
a day.
I definitely have the definitive list for what episodes are best.
Ooh.
Wait, of this season already?
Of all of it.
Oh, of all of it. I don't know if I'm ready for
ranked,
that.
This is the Dan ranked list?
That's right.
I think we're ready to hear it.
All right, you can tell, and then I can... I mean, okay, go for it.
Okay. Well, I'm about to lose the music, so sorry, guys.
Okay,
oh, it's getting less dramatic by the moment.
Okay, let me pull this up.
Because I could probably do this season. I don't know if I could re-rank last season. I mean, we re-ranked last season. I remember doing that.
So I debated going back and listening to podcasts to see... if I could remember exactly when mine were, but I didn't.
You don't remember what season one's list ranking was for Dan?
I don't.
I remember that episode 6 was your favorite.
I actually did like episode 6. I did. And that's one that you guys didn't like
right,
as much.
Right.
Cool story, though. My email's not loading.
Okay, well, let's talk about this episode then.
Yes. I thought this episode was awesome. Awesome.
Ryan's beaming, just to admit it.
So really so people were on Facebook saying this is the best TBOI. This was the best one yet. And I was like, really? This episode is better than last episode with the naming of Baby Yoda and the cool lightsaber, like the cool lightsaber action and the spear and stuff like that. And I was like, this is going to be better than that one?
Yes.
Was it really better?
I think it does crack me up because I see people post things like, it's so good, it's better than the Star Wars movies. And I'm like, the movies, come on. This 13-second episode is better than a 4-hour. But I understand that people, that all of that was build up for exciting moments and reveals that people have been waiting for. Ryan also thought it was better than all the movies.
See, I almost feel like this season, I won't necessarily say first season, because it was good, but it didn't blow me away. But I feel like this season has ramped up and kind of made up for maybe the last 20 years of Star Wars, except for...
Wow, what Star is Wars. Happening?
But like, come on, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, they were fun, but...
I agree. 4, 5, and 6 were better than this, in my opinion.
Yes.
But...
Yeah. And if you want to get into quality of like acting and effects and all that, because sure, the movies have a lot bigger budget.
Right.
I'm not going to argue that.
I don't know. The effects are pretty good on Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah. I'm just enjoying this experience more.
Is it because you get to enjoy it every single Friday?
That's very possible. Very possible. No, I just like the story. I like the fact, you know, maybe it's the fanboy of in this episode, you see Slave One come into screen and you're like,
what?
I know season two started really slow for me, and I was kind of disappointed how slow season two started.
Yeah, they've definitely come a long way. The last three episodes have all been great.
Yes.
I think maybe they've been each getting better. I think the fact that the thing that I hated about last season was that they didn't give you anything like any story continuance. So it was just individual episodes. I didn't feel like there was anything that was like, oh man, I gotta watch the next episode. So in this one, I do love that they're dropping hints and like, you know, giving you an idea of what's coming.
So little cliffhangers.
Right. And then I love that they're delivering on it. So like, you know, they could have easily hung us out to dry for three more episodes before Ahsoka got revealed, you know, or whatever. But the fact that, oh, here she is, poof, awesome. And then like, oh, we might see Boba, you know, or whatever, son of, in the next episode. Oh, there he is. Like that's been cool.
Yeah, I do like the fact that they're not holding back. Yes. They're not making you wait. It's here you go. This is what you wanted to see.
Well, they hinted at Boba in the first season, but you had to be like a diehard Boba fan to even pick up on it, because they show Fennec after she'd been shot and somebody approaching her, and it had the spur sound that apparently accompanies Boba in the original.
Really? Movies.
Wow. I was unaware of
the spur sound.
You were unaware of this, right?
Like
this
blinking thing,
but I found out about it. Yeah, Boba Fett is my favorite Star Wars character. Totally undeserved, but awesome. So, last
I think
episode,
the fact that you've been a fan for so long is like you get credit. You should be able to claim.
last episode may have been a better episode overall, but this episode, like last episode, I had to pause a few times to just like explain my excitement to Katie so we could keep going. This episode,
wait,
I had to do
time.
That, and I had to be like, okay, I'm sorry, hold up. We got to rewind right now and watch that part again.
Like, what were you rewinding?
Just Boba.
Every 5 minutes.
His fight scenes, though, when he first comes on the scene and he just takes out those stormtroopers.
That was awesome.
That was fantastic. And I thought it was really cool, too, that, you know, most movies or shows, you see that kind of thing, you're going to have, like, blood and violence everywhere. And they managed to do it and keep it kind of still family friendly within reason. And it
cracked stormtrooper helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I agree. I do think that they've done an excellent job of making this a family friendly series that I can watch with my kids.
The first episode, the guy got cut in half.
That's friendly. But it was like a door, and it was like, but there wasn't like blood and gruesomeness everywhere. That's true. I mean, I wouldn't watch it with my 4-year-olds, but
what happened to that guy? Oh, he made it out the door.
All right.
I think part of it too, like I would agree with Ryan. 13 with the Jedi was probably better.
I agree,
but I'm not to the point with like I'm in season two of Attack of the Clones, so some of the stuff, you know, Ahsoka is like, okay, she's cool, but
you're
right
watching
now,
Attack of the Clones,
you're watching animated series,
Clone Wars, animated series. Cool. Ahsoka's like right now, she's just kind of a whiny little kid, and I don't have the attachment that some people do. So when I saw Boba coming from my childhood watching movies, I was like, yes,
this episode was hitting nostalgia just firing on sure. all cylinders.
Yeah.
When I saw the Dark Troopers be deployed, I was like, this is amazing.
That was a pretty cool shot.
Dark Forces was like the first Star Wars game I've ever played. I don't think I should have been allowed to play it. Because it's like a Doom clone. So it's very dark. And the Dark Troopers, oh, they gave me nightmares. It was so
that sounds awesome.
So like seeing them brought to the screen was so cool. Just like,
did you have new nightmares?
You don't even know.
Don't even know.
It was cool. So I liked it a lot. I wanted him to retrieve his jetpack and fly up there and
right?
fight them.
Yes.
Still lose, but at least like engage them. Yeah. That was the one problem I had with the episode was I felt like him getting rid of his jetpack was just contrived. You know.
Yeah, that was sounded really weird. Like, you didn't take your jetpack off. I'm like, well, why do you need to take your jetpack off?
Why do you think that specific thing?
And then they all pick up their weapons again, but he doesn't pick up his jetpack. And all the time I'm like, go get your jetpack.
He's going to need that.
Why aren't you getting your jetpack? That you're like running back really and forth past it. Go get it.
It just hit me, too. His disintegration rifle is gone.
Yeah, it was on the ship. All his other cool stuff.
So he's down to a pistol and a Beskar staff.
Spirit. I mean, but the staff is the best thing ever.
It's pretty cool. Is he going to learn how to wield it?
Does he already know how? Is it just an innate ability? If you have a giant Beskar staff, you're as good as a Jedi.
I don't know if the staff was for Mandalorians. I think the staff was for whatever her other... Like, she made it to fit her fighting style.
Did she make it? What's the legend on that? Where'd it come from?
I don't know where it came from. From what I understand, there was a deleted tweet where they revealed that she was from Dathomir, which is like a planet of witches that they really explore. Darth Maul's from there, apparently. In the Clone Wars, they reveal a lot about it. So I don't know what the spear was about. But it's cool that he still has it. I was like, something must have survived.
Well, the ball definitely survived.
Yeah.
And the spear, so that's good.
I do like their approach to humor is very subtle, and it makes you smile and like laugh without being like overly jokey and stuff. It did crack me up in the first scene when he's just like, hey, Grogu. And then he looks and he's like, it worked. That really is his name. I'm going to say it again. Like, you know, the delight moments, sometimes a little cheesy. That one made me laugh both times.
I do have to say, I saw some people trying to decide why Grogu likes that little metal ball. And nobody had come, like, why is he so fascinated with it? And people had mentioned, like, oh, well, he grew up in the Jedi Temple. And I was like, oh, I remember in the originals with those little balls that Luke trained with. Yeah. I wonder if he trained with something like that.
Could
Maybe
be.
That's why he likes the little ball.
The question is Grogu going to the dark side?
Ooh. I sure hope so.
I mean, he was pretty upset with those stormtroopers.
Right?
Their anger was being released.
Isn't force choking normally only a dark side skill?
I don't know if he was choking them, though.
He was just slamming their bodies around.
Well, in the art afterwards, in the credits, they showed him force choking.
Oh, okay.
You just see the feet dangling.
Yeah, and he usually uses the force for like his own personal gain, selfish. Like when he wants something. I mean, he has helped Mando a few times, like saving people.
But toddlers, that's all they do. Anything they do is
50-year-old toddler.
Yes. Yeah,
his lack of development in this season. I really was hoping he'd at least be more of a child instead of a toddler.
Maybe
because that's a bit of a disconnect for me. Because Yoda says he's like 900 years old or something, and he passes away. So he's like already what?
I can't
do the math.
Well, almost,
like he's an 18th of the way through his life.
Right.
I don't know.
What is their developmental period? Yeah, it is a little weird.
Yeah.
He at least makes more coo sounds than the last episode.
That's already good.
Yeah, but you can't have someone who's 50 at that stage in life and then in what could be just a month or so that we've seen his life, like all of a sudden develop a lot.
That's true. I just... Yeah.
I know, Farron is pretty good with talking from week to week.
Right, and it'll make it weirder whenever they do, because they'll be like, poof, now he's a teenager. Wait, what? He's been a baby for 50 years.
20 years later.
Right, we have to go to Antique Mandalorian.
I think it's pretty cool. I do not know this, so I'm just going off of things I've heard, but just the little things they're pulling in from obscure places, like Boba Fett's knee darts.
I guess
that's in some, like, really old original. Ryan apparently knows.
There's a collection of like Bounty Hunter Tales or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, like you never really see him, but Dave Filoni apparently is this huge nerd, geek, whatever, and he's just grabbing things from all over the place, little Easter eggs that you wouldn't know unless you're some diehard fan. I think that's cool.
Or unless you get paid a bunch of money to make movies.
That's true, yeah.
What else that amazed and surprised you, Ryan, from this past episode?
I don't know. I was just blown away. I wasn't able to focus. So.
Why did Boba Fett admit that he hit the wrong ship?
I'm not sure.
I think it was just comic relief.
Someone was speculating that he was admitting that his aim had gone down, and that's part of the reason why he hadn't retrieved the armor up to this point, was because he didn't think he could take Cobb, I think the guy's name is, on in a one-on-one fight. And so now that he has Fennec, who is a sharpshooter, like that makes up for his lack of aim, I guess. I don't know.
I think he can take out pretty much anyone based on what we just saw him do. Right. Sick.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Well, I have my list.
Go for it, Dan. You found your list.
I found my list, yeah.
Roll this out. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, this is it.
I'll go a little quickly through the first five, or the bottom five, I guess. So for me, number 14 would be episode 4, Sanctuary. That one just didn't really do it for me. 13, I'm going to say episode 10, The Passenger, the frog eggs, the frozen spiders.
Oh, with the spiders?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I felt like with that episode, the whole reason for it was just about to show why his ship got damaged. Like, what else was the purpose of
what
it,
ship?
Really?
What ship are you talking
about? Razorcrest.
Yeah, what? It's gone.
Yeah, exactly. I would then go episode 5, The Gunslinger. That's the one with Fennec, where they go off to try and track her down.
Yeah, that was okay.
The Child would be number 11 for me. That's episode 2, where he faces the Jawas and does the Mudhorn, get the egg thing.
Yeah. Put the worm one above that one? Interesting.
I would. I thought that was a little more interesting for me, personally. Any big complaints so far?
The Jawas, though. I mean,
yeah. Remembering these by title
them
was already...
I know. Still makes me kind of gag. Yeah.
I had to look last season up again. Number 10 would be episode 6, The Prisoner with the Prison Ship.
That was like the bottom one for me.
Okay.
That was the one with all the goofy tentacle heads the whole time.
Yes. Yeah.
Will got hung up on that. My bottom one right there.
None of these were bad for me. Like, I enjoyed them. Sure. They just weren't, oh, great. So moving on, number 9, The Sin. That's episode 3, where he goes back and takes the child away. Number 8 was episode 9, The Marshal. So just, you know, a few spots up from the Mudhorn. 7, The Siege. So that was episode 12.
That's with at the where he saves everyone?
That's the one where you discover Moff Gideon with the Dark Troopers.
No, that's the one.
It had some cool moments in it. Just overall, it didn't do much for me. I'm probably killing Ryan inside. episode number 6, episode 1, The Mandalorian. Really solid. I liked it. No complaints. Number 5, episode 7, The Reckoning. So the build up to the grand finale of season 1. Number 4, I would say episode 11, The Heiress. So Bo-Katan, I'm sorry, Will.
What?
I know.
I watched some movie with her in it just the other day, just because she was in it. Wasn't even a good movie in any way. Unknown origin?
Maybe if I were farther along in Clone Wars.
Battlestar Galactica.
It would mean more to me, but when she popped on the scene, I was like, oh, Bo-Katan. That's cool. And then she mentions Ahsoka, and oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. But I still don't really know why I should care about her. Then I had number 3, episode 8, The Redemption, where I just love IG-11 when he comes in on a speeder bike.
That was a fun one.
Yeah, that was cool. So then probably pretty predictable based on what we've said. Number 2 for me would be episode 13, The Jedi, and then episode, my favorite so far is this last one, The Tragedy.
The very best.
Well, I have to say that you're wrong.
No, that is the definitive list.
But that one was really good.
Let me go update Wikipedia.
This was one of my favorites.
Yeah. Ryan will have to tell us his
next
time.
I was a little disappointed that his ship was just completely obliterated because there was that one droid on the ship that had hinted that maybe he might come back, because his vocabulary.
The insect guy?
Worked. Yeah.
Didn't they also have some dude who was frozen in carbonite? There
might have been. one of the things that was really cool about this episode that I just remembered was, and this happens throughout the whole series, is anytime you see the alien writing, it's in Orvesh or whatever, it's
writing.
Actual words. So when he shows him his chain code, people have encrypted. They've interpreted or translated, what those letters are to show what it is. So it talks about how he is from Concord Dawn, or his dad is, or something. His father was Fett. That guy's mentor was Jaster Mareel, which used to be in the expanded universe, the actual name of Boba Fett or something. Mm-hmm. But then he was turned into Jango's mentor. So it's just interesting that they pulled in these expanded universe elements that have never been talked to before, and it's all in this translated writing, but now it's canon. Very cool. They just snuck it in there.
Legit. That's cool. Ryan, you going to give us your list next week?
I don't know if I can. I have to rewatch all of them.
Okay.
Every single one.
Go with your gut.
A couple times.
Or he might want to wait till the season's over.
Okay, wait till the season's over. Well, yeah, because might even be better episodes coming.
So through. I'm just curious. You don't have to go through my whole list, but you said I was wrong. What was the biggest?
I feel like the sin egregious? Should have been a lot higher. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Your sin was egregious.
The sin was where we learned that the Mandalorian had a conscience heart. And a code of honor or whatever.
Mm. That makes sense.
Went back and
started
saved.
Rooting for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many more episodes are left? Two.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do.
When's the last to come out? Is it Christmas Friday?
I think it's just every Friday. So.
What is that? Is that?
I don't know. it's the Friday before Christmas, I think.
Yeah, because if there's only two left, it's
final
just the next
gift
2 weeks.
To all of us.
Bye.
Bye.